Hey, you know how Black Friday sales are the best savings of the year? Well, what if we told you Wayfair's bringing Black Friday to July? That's right. Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is Black Friday in July. And it's on its way. Starting July 24th, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Snag outdoor furniture and decor at up to 60% off. Get area rugs for every room at up to 80% off. And refresh your sleep space with up to 60% off bedroom furniture. Plus, way more doorbuster deals on top products and 24-hour surprise flash deals. Oh, and did we mention free shipping on everything? Everything. These are Wayfair's lowest prices of the summer and the best time to make your home even more you. But it only lasts 5 days, so don't miss out. Mark your calendars, then head to Wayfair for up to 80% off Wayfair's biggest sale of the summer. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday and July sale, July 24th through 28th, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
There's some jobs that I think it's easy to call out sick. And then there's others that are not so easy.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You think about it, like, how does a surgeon call out sick? Like, you schedule a surgery months in advance, then they're going to get the flu?
But do you really want a surgeon that has the flu operating on you? It's so, I think about it because the reason why this even comes up is I just got a text message from my daughter's tutor saying she's not feeling well, you know, the reschedule. And it's honestly no big deal. Like, okay, no problem. Let me know when you feel better and you can help my kid, you know? So that's fine. But I have a job where I can't call out sick.
No.
There is an emergency plan in place if I'm sick,
yeah.
Which is so crazy. And every couple of weeks, I need to refresh the emergency plan.
I think what's impressive, though, is that you guys are smarter to plan ahead for that. In my line of business, you can't call it. There's no sick. If you call it sick, you are hated by your peers in the restaurant. They hate you.
Chef Plum is in for Raven. Raven has been out on vacation. He'll be back tomorrow. Right, because then it's all up to the sous chefs to take over and get everything ready.
Right, someone else has to take now your work. You know, if you call on a Friday night and you're one of the main guys, it's like if you're a first round draft pick on that team and you call out, and then immediately everyone's like, they're lying. He's not sick. He's not sick.
Yeah, so my dad owns restaurants.
Right.
And there is nothing worse than when he has a planned day off and the pizza man calls out or one of the guys on the line and he has to go in. It's so terrible.
That's right. I mean, it's really just one of those jobs. I mean, there's other jobs like that too, I think, you know?
I have a friend of mine who has unlimited vacation and sick days.
What?
She works at a company that's their policy.
Come on.
And it's wild to me. And she doesn't abuse it ever. But
interesting.
I always thought what it must be like to have a job where if you call out, you just call out. Like, now your work isn't getting done. You'll do it tomorrow. And then you just move on with your life, right?
I've never had a job like that in my life.
I don't think I have either. And well, that's not true because when I was a teacher, you have so many sick days. And a lot of my friends are teachers and they'll do the thing where they want to fly to New Orleans for a long weekend and do something fun. And they're not technically allowed to take days off, vacation days or whatever.
They'll call out sick. I'm air quoting sick on Friday to leave.
And it's no big deal. They just get a sub. A sub shows up to their class. They pop in a video or whatever they do nowadays. I have no clue.
Unbelievable.
And the day's off.
You know, and also working in the entertainment industry too. Like, there's no calling out. If you get an audition or something like that, you don't get another chance at it. Like, there's only one shot.
So Raven and I have this joke, which is a terrible joke, but we never, ever call out sick.
Right.
I can't remember. I think I called out sick once last year. And the reason why is because now I'm going to get graphic, but because I was literally vomiting. You know, I always say to Raven, the only time I'm not showing up here is if I can't make the drive without throwing up.
Well, thankfully you didn't call it sick when I'm here because I would be sitting there with all those buttons and the weird little machines you have over there and we'd figure out some show to do.
But going back to the doctor, is there anything more annoying when the office calls you and they say they need to reschedule because the doctor is out? You're like, I waited 6 months for this appointment.
Unbelievable when that happens. I get so fired up. I've actually told them, no, I'm not going to reschedule.
No, I'm coming.
No. You tell that dentist I'm going to show up at his house with my Lazy Boy recliner and I'll bring in my DeWalt drill and we'll finish this job right there in the living room.
Anna and Raven's Pick'em News.
Three news stories, you only hear about one. And today, Chef Plum is in for Raven while Raven is on vacation. He'll be back tomorrow. Plum, how this works, I'm going to read you these three headlines. You pick which one you want to hear about. Only one. I know they're all going to be exciting, but you can only choose one. Are you ready?
I've always wanted to play this with you. I'm so excited. Yeah, let's go.
Okay, option number one, brat is the word of the year.
Oh, that sounds great. Okay, what else you got?
Number two, surfer bitten by shark at same beach he was bitten at 11 years ago.
Ooh.
And number three, woman steals ambulance with patients inside.
I mean, these all sound fantastic, but you give me a story with sharks, I got to have it. Give me the shark story.
I had a feeling you weren't going to be able to stay away from the sharks.
Of course not.
Okay. So a Florida surfer was bitten by a shark at the exact same beach he was bitten by a shark 11 years ago. Okay.
This guy's brilliant.
It's like you can't get struck by lightning twice until you get struck by lightning twice.
He should have bought a lottery ticket.
Imagine like the first time he's like, well, here's the good news. I love this beach and it'll never happen again.
Yeah, it's happened once. It's not going to happen again.
No, it did. So here he is. His name is Cole Tashman. He's talking about the injuries and saying that he's never going to surf there again, shockingly.
I got a little look at it when I got into close to the shore. And I saw kind of the damage and I was like, okay, my toes are there. That was like all I really cared about.
All he cared about was his toes still being intact.
Maybe he's got nice feet. You don't know.
Maybe. I was thinking about it, though. If you're going to get bitten by a shark and you could only keep your fingers or your toes, which ones do you want to keep?
This is such an Anna question, too.
Well,
I mean, honestly, this is such a question you would ask. Mm-hmm. I think I would probably want to keep my fingers.
I agree.
You know?
Like, if I had to choose, like, your toes are fantastic. And, like, they're I mean, not yours in general. Just, like, toes. Toes are great. But at the end of the day, you need your fingers. You don't use your toes to dial fingers or, you know, cut a cucumber or anything else in your life.
I love your logic. I was kind of there, too. My actual thought here was I wear socks. I can cover up my mangled, toeless feet if I need to.
It's true. I know people that have missing toes or they have problems with their toes. And the truth of the matter is that it's fine.
Yeah.
You know, like you don't know. Anyway, he continues and he says,
I can definitely tell you that I'm not going to be surfing out in Bathtub Beach again. Yeah. Just pretty much all my buddies have been bit.
I mean, if all of your friends have been bit at the same beach, including you, why are you still at this beach? Surfers are nuts. Surfers are so dedicated and passionate that like when they find a place that they like to go, that's it.
It's very, very true. I'll tell you, listen, they are committed to their beach. He loves his beach. And listen, we all saw, you know, old movies about surfing. Mm-hmm. All they do is go to the same beach constantly.
Yeah. I was in Naples, Florida this past weekend visiting a friend and we were at the beach and we were on the shore and I go, oh my God, it's dolphins. And there was these giant schools of fish and the dolphins, it was like nothing I'd ever seen. They were so without exaggeration, 12 to 15 feet from the shore. That's how close
they
were.
It's crazy to see them that up close,
isn't
it?
Oh my gosh. I was like, I was so excited. I was like a child. But people, like moms, were letting their kids in to get closer. And all I kept thinking is, all right, it's not a shark, but if there's these big schools of fish and there's these dolphins here, you really gonna let your kid go in that water?
That's a powerful animal to be swimming close to, you know? But the one thing that they always used to say, if dolphins are around, there's no sharks around.
Is that true?
Because dolphins are the enemies of sharks or something like that?
Do we need to fact check that?
We could look it up, but I'm pretty sure.
Are dolphins and sharks enemies?
They're not friends.
Fascinating. What is the fashion style, the style that you have that even though it's long gone, nobody else is wearing it, you still are?
I mean, I think I have none because I am the most fashionable person you'll ever meet in your life.
Chef Plum has been sitting in for Raven while Raven is on vacation.
The fashionable Chef Plum.
He will be back tomorrow, Raven. Plum, I noticed when you walked in today and I tried not to giggle, but you're wearing your, what is it called? Your chef coat.
Well, it's a shirt. It's a chef's shirt. It's a kitchen shirt.
It is a chef coat that has your name on it.
Yeah.
And you probably are thinking, oh, well, you know, he must be cooking something today on the show. No, we're not cooking anything here today on the show. Nothing. And I was like, well, why are you dressed to go work on the line in a restaurant?
I would like to have a minute just to explain myself, if you don't mind. Is that okay?
Sure.
Can I do that?
Sure.
Number one, I like to dress the gimmick. So I run the part. I run it 100%. I'm committed. That's what I do. I'm a commitment guy. Number two, yes, it does have my name on it. You're right. But what that does do, it allows me to not have to introduce myself when I walk into a room. It makes me feel good. People go, oh, Chef Plum. How do they know? Because they see my name on my shirt. It gets rid of that anxiety right off the bat. I'm helping people. That's what I like to do.
And I don't mean to be making more fun of you because
yes,
I will certainly be making more fun of myself, too. But you've been rocking that mohawk for as long as I can remember.
Yeah, well, listen.
When you first did it, I was like, everybody had a mohawk. And then people stopped wearing a mohawk.
Right.
And then you dyed yours different colors and you just held on. You held on tight.
That's what fashionistas like myself do.
Yeah, I kind of get it because remember like 15 years ago when we started getting manicures and everybody got essay the Essie ballet slippers. Maybe you don't remember this.
I remember
Chef
this.
Mom. It was like the very neutral color nail polishes.
Oh, yeah.
It was ballet slippers. It was, oh, my gosh. I'm going to forget all of them. Oh, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Like flesh colored nails.
Yes. That's my life. I'll never go back. When people are getting like the almond long nails,
yeah.
No, mine are still square, short, and ballet slippers. That's the way it's going to be forever. And I've been wearing the same two color lipsticks, NARS, you know, the red lipstick like Taylor Swift, and then another one called Band Red for about 10 years at this point.
Interesting. So you haven't changed any of that, huh?
No. What's the fashion style that even though it's out of style, you're holding on to it? Beth?
Cargo pants are a perfect item that should be worn at all times.
Wait a minute.
More pockets, more room to put things. You don't have to bring a bag if you don't want to because you got cargo pants on.
Are cargo pants, cargo pants aren't a thing? Like people don't like them?
No, cargo pants made their way back. They're back in style for women.
Did they leave?
Yes, they left for a very long time during the skinny jean age.
Okay.
No women were wearing, I shouldn't say no women. That's not a nice generalization to make.
99% of women were wearing skinny jeans.
Exactly.
For a very, very, very long time.
But the cargos are back. But so my very good friend, stylist Lauren, always helps me. Like, she comes shopping with me. There's honestly nothing better than having a very good friend who's a stylist. It makes your life so much easier. And she has sworn cargos are back. And I have a lot of pairs of them. And I love them because they're cozy and they're big.
Right.
But she doesn't let me put things in the pocket.
Well,
she's like, no, you pin them shut. I go, what is the point having cargo pants if you can't put things in the pocket? I don't know. You can't look bulky. They have to look slim at the side.
Cargo pants. Listen.
It's different for boys, I think. I don't know.
I enjoy great functionality with my clothing. It all has to mean something, do something, or have a function, or else I don't want to wear it. That's why I wear cargo shorts all the time. I always have pockets.
What's the fashion item that, even though it's long out of style, you are still holding on to it because it is your jam? What's the fashion that you absolutely love and you keep wearing it, even though it went out of style a long time ago?
These things stick around forever. You get committed to it. You think you look good in it. And then you want to stay there the entire time.
Right. I was making fun of Chef Plum because he has a mohawk. He's had that mohawk for as long as I can remember. It's like 20 years at this point, I think.
It's comfortability for me more than anything else, you know?
Janice.
High-waisted jeans, okay? I know it's trendy for the low-rise jeans to come back, but I refuse to let go of the high-waisted jeans. They don't even make them high-waisted really anymore. I refuse to let go. If I find a jean that's high-waisted enough and I like it, I buy it. I don't care.
The way that it just holds everything in and it just sucks you in and snatches you, it's magic is really what it is. High-waisted jeans. Yeah.
Even like your face when you're describing these jeans, it just looks like you're getting into a nice warm hot tub.
It's like putting my fupa in a cocoon.
Oh, geez.
And just and letting it just nice and squish in there and it's perfect and we're just protecting it from the world. That's what we're doing.
No comment.
All right. Walter, what's that style you're not getting rid of?
So a couple years ago on Christmas, I got one of those like dad shoes, those like Nikes that you see, like it's like the dad starter pack kind of white, just plain Nike. I think if you saw it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I would make fun of it. And then I put them on once and I walked around and they were the most comfortable shoes I've ever worn.
Do they have Velcro straps?
No, I'm not quite there yet.
Good.
But no, but they are the most comfortable things ever. And they match everything, even though, you know, I definitely, get some looks.
I told my husband New Balances are back big time and he should try a pair. And then we went to a store and he came. He's like, babe, how about these? And they were the all white New Balances. I'm like, no! I go, they can't be all white. He's like, what? He's like, what are you talking about? I go, New Balances are cool, but they can't be all white because that's old man. And he looked at me like I had lost my mind.
I mean, I don't know if they're cool or not, but, you know.
Oh, no. Tomorrow I'm going to wear a pair of New Balances. You're going to see how cool they are.
Does that make them cool because you're wearing them?
Yeah, I've been wearing them for years, though.
Oh. I'm a Hoka guy, and I'll tell you what. I love my Hokas very much, and I will wear them forever.
Are they all white?
No. I do have an all-white pair. I also have an all-black pair. But they're fantastic shoes. They're better than all-white Nikes, New Balance.
Sure, if you believe that. Lawrence, what is the fashion thing that you are not getting rid of? It's your style and you're sticking with it.
It's going to be a flannel shirt tucked into jeans. Kind of a classic outdoorsman vibe from the 50s. You slap some boots on there, maybe a mustache. Feel like a hero.
Okay. Like a red and black flannel shirt, like the guy on the paper towel thing?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what's his name? What's his name? Is it a bouncy guy?
Oh, it's Brawny.
No, Brawny?
Brawny, right?
Yeah, what's his name?
Does he have Brawny
name?
Guy.
But you want to know what? That's classic as I'm Googling it. Brawny guy name. I feel like any man looks handsome in a flannel tucked into a nice pair of jeans if it fits him right. Mr. Brawny. That's his name?
Creative. They got a good marketing company behind that.
Who is Brawny's mascot? The Brawny man.
Yeah, I don't think
he has a... Barrel-chested avatar of masculinity in a lumberjack shirt. Sometimes with a Tom Selleck mustache.
Sometimes. Tom Selleck was an old actor from the 80s in a show called Magnum P.I.
Yeah, I didn't know who it was the other day.
That's why I'm saying that.
Yeah. I think you're cool with that outfit. I think people are all right with the flannel.
What about the old, remember when we were younger and we used to wear overalls, but we'd have the one overall thing down?
Yeah, that's, no. No one's doing that anymore.
They don't do that anymore.
I saw somebody wearing that on Halloween and I didn't. It wasn't a costume, but I don't know. Maybe it was a costume. She was just didn't have the rest of it on.
Did she have it on backwards? That says something about
Mac
make
Daddy.
You jump.
Yeah. Mac Daddy, Daddy Mac.
Daddy Mac, yeah.
I was that one year for Halloween. I was Criss Cross. It was dope. I wish overalls would come back into style. I could rock them. Three ingredient meals. You tell Chef Plum three things that are in your fridge or pantry right now. He'll tell you a dish you can make. It's like his weird superpower. Nora.
I've got some shredded chicken cans. I've got pasta and like those little cherry tomatoes. They were BOGO.
Got it. This is a piece of cake. Very,
yes.
Very easy.
I could do this one. This one is so easy.
This is so easy. First, we're going to cook off that pasta, right? But I want you to save back a little bit of that water. That water is going to have nice and starchy and salty. So we want to definitely keep that dough. So what I want you to do is get a nice hot pan. And you're going to put those tomatoes in that hot pan with some olive oil and a little bit of salt until they start to blister. And then you're going to take that delicious sauce, toss it with your pasta, and eat that. The chicken in the cans, we're going to throw that away.
The chicken? Oh, why?
It's gross.
Oh, I thought you were definitely going to use that.
No, throw it away. Just don't eat it.
Give it to the cat. Question. Okay. I bought...
Uh-oh. When you start laughing before you even say what it is, I get worried.
I know you're going to get annoyed. Maybe not. Because chicken in a can sounds weird. But I bought tuna in a pouch. Now, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but there was tuna, and I never really make tuna at home. I always just buy it like out at the deli or at the grocery store already made tuna salad.
Okay.
So I didn't really know I didn't know how to make it. I didn't know what to do with it.
Really?
But it's one of the things that I could eat on my celiac diet, tuna. So I was like, all right, maybe I could figure it out. So I bought tuna in a pouch.
Okay.
And I brought it home, and it gave me the ick. Now, is it because I bought the wrong tuna or is it because I just don't like making it myself?
I think it's probably because you just don't like making it yourself. The tuna in the pouch is just like tuna in the can. It's no different. But what you got to do is add some stuff to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so most people would put a little celery, a little mayo, sometimes a pinch of mustard. You toss it all together. Got an easy, simple tuna salad. Now, if you don't want that and you'd rather just have it be a little different and not have the mayo component, toss it with olive oil and lemon juice. A little green onion, if you have it, it's fantastic in there. Celery is fantastic in there. And it really tastes delicious when you do it that way.
Why is shredded chicken in a tin distasteful, but tuna in a pouch is okay?
Well, I think tuna in a pouch just sounds more like a human consumption type food. Chicken in a can looks like cat food.
Okay. So it's visual.
It's gross.
All right.
It's just gross. Okay. How long would it get cooked? I mean, come on. What are we doing?
All right. Thanks, Nora. Victor, your turn. Three things that are in your closet right now, your pantry, refrigerator.
Yeah, I have one of those bagged Caesar salad prepackaged things.
Mm-hmm.
I have some leftover sweet Italian sausage, and I have some cocktail olives.
Oh, well, I love me some cocktail olives.
Anna is a cocktail olive fan.
I love
for sure.
All olives.
I'm thrown now because the olive thing threw me off. We got olives, Caesar, we got Caesar salad, and what's the last thing?
Sweet Italian sausage.
Is a sausage cooked?
No.
Okay. And is the Caesar salad bag been opened?
No.
All right. You're going to cook that sausage down, right? You're going to go ahead and slice it up, cook it down in a pan, saute it up so it gets like nice and crumbly pieces or a little disc, however you want to do it. And then you have this beautiful Caesar salad, right? Take that some of that lettuce out, put it in a bowl, add a little Caesar dressing on top of it, and then put that sausage right on top with some olives, and there you go. Sausage Caesar. I mean, come on. That was pretty easy.
I mean, yeah, you just basically said put it all together. That was definitely
well,
easy.
I come up with something different if you want, but that's pretty straightforward there, right?
I guess so. You know what I learned is the most delicious Caesar salad?
I'm worried.
No, it's delicious. My aunt used to make it at the restaurant all the time, and it became so popular. Fried calamari Caesar salad with hot cherry peppers.
I mean, this is a no-brainer there.
Oh, gosh. It's just thinking about it is making my mouth. What I would do for that salad, Zia. What I would do for it right now.
You know what makes it so delicious there are those hot cherry peppers, because they leave such a lasting impact on you when you eat them. That's what makes you like salivate and really want them. It's just the umami that's in a hot cherry pepper is unbelievable.
It's kind of like a superpower. During the pandemic, I learned that Chef Plum could look into your refrigerator, see any three ingredients, and make a meal. Three ingredients you have in your pantry or refrigerator right now, and he'll make a meal.
Okay. Ground pumpkin, beans, and potato chips.
Pumpkin, potato chips, and what was the other one?
Beans.
Beans?
What kind of beans?
Red beans.
Rita,
this
how
is
old
easy.
Are you?
This is easy.
Hold on, Rita, how old are you?
10.
10, okay. Are you actually cooking this, or are your parents cooking this?
Of course she is.
I'm not cooking anything.
Okay. Well, yeah, yeah, good. You're just going to go into the kitchen, and you'll be like, Ma, this is what I need you to
do. Here's what you're going to make, Ma. Here's what you're going to make. This is very, very simple. This is very, very easy. You've got pumpkin, and you've got beans, so we're going to make a pumpkin bean dip. Super easy to do. You're going to take your beans and your pumpkin, a little salt, a little olive oil. You're going to put it into a processor or a blender and blend it up till it has the consistency of a hummus, right? You can almost call it a hummus if you want. You're going to pour it into a bowl. You're going to spread those beautiful potato chips around. You're going to dip potato chips into your pumpkin bean hummus. It's delicious. If you have a little lemon juice, I highly recommend finishing it with that.
Rita, you know what they say about beans, right? They're very good for your heart.
Nicely done, Anna.
Unique heart.
I know. Hey! I wanted you to say it because I wasn't allowed to say it. All right. Thanks, Rita. Have a good day, honey.
You're a child. You are a child,
Anna. I'm a 5-year-old. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Hi, this is Kathy.
Hey, Kathy. Go ahead. Give us three ingredients and Plum's going to make a meal.
Let's go, Kathy. Give it to me.
All right. Polenta, radishes, and hot dog, sweet hot dog relish.
Polenta. What was the second one?
Radishes. And I think she said three hot dogs.
Sweet hot dog relish.
Sweet hot dog relish.
And polenta.
I mean, this is definitely a little bit more challenging than the rest of them, but have no fear. Chef Plum is here.
Okay.
Let me tell you what we're going to do, right? We're going to make something very, very similar to the last time that someone gave me random ingredients like this. I'm going to take all of that. Is that polenta cooked or not cooked?
It is not cooked.
Not cooked. Even better. So polenta is fun because it's made out of cornmeal. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take that polenta. We're going to cook it down with a little bit of water and salt. And we're actually going to mix in that relish with it. Okay? You're going to mix that hot dog relish into it. Is it a spicy hot dog relish or a sweet hot dog relish?
I have sweet written down. Is that what you said, Kathy?
Doesn't matter. We're going to mix it in there, mix it all up, season up with some salt and pepper, finish it with olive oil, and yet again, we are then going to make a delicious polenta hot dog relish dip out of that we're going to dip our radishes into that I promise you will be amazing. Quick tip with your radishes, if you slice them and salt them ahead of time, let them sit, they taste better.
All right. Kathy, we're losing you. Thanks for the call.
Good luck with the hurricane.
Also, I love fried polenta. I love fried polenta.
It's great.
Hey, Carly, give us three ingredients. Plum's going to make a meal.
Sure. So my husband's a farmer. He brought home turnips. We have a lot of white beans, and I have Parmesan cheese.
Turnips, white beans. What was the last thing?
Parmesan cheese.
Parmesan cheese.
Oh, let's go. This is great. I love the turnip aspect of it because it makes it so fun. So we're going to cut what's called a batonette out of your turnips, okay? A batonette is basically a thick julienne slice, okay? So it's going to be about a quarter of an inch by a quarter of an inch by a quarter of an inch all the way around, right? So they're going to be nice little like thin rectangular long pieces. You're going to take those, you're going to hit them in a saute pan, you're going to brown them up in a little olive oil and salt, okay? Then we're going to take a pan and put a little wax paper down, and then we're going to add some Parmesan cheese, little Parmesan cheese piles onto that wax paper, put it into your oven at 350 degrees. When it comes out, it's going to be nice, like a cracker almost. You're going to make basically a tostada, which is going to be amazing. Then we'll cook down those white beans, throw them into your blender with olive oil and salt, and we're going to spread the white beans spread on top of the cheese and then put those batonette pieces that you sauteed on top of that. And you're going to eat it like a beautiful a farmer's tostada.
Sounds delicious. Five Calls says it all. Do you think that there should be complete salary transparency? So this has been trending, and I don't know what I think about it. So Chef Plum's in for Raven. Raven will be back from vacation tomorrow. There is a woman that's gone viral, Plum, and she has like a TikTok and an Instagram. It's Salary Transparent Street. She goes out on the street and she's basically pushing for people to all share their salaries. And here she is explaining why.
Pay transparency is really the best way for people to get paid fairly. Pay secrecy only benefits corporations.
Well, pay secrecy, it's true, because when companies are you know, figuring out who gets paid and nobody knows who makes what.
Right, there's nothing to compare it against, you know? Yeah.
She continues,
Anyone that's got more than like 4 employees, they have to list a minimum and maximum salary range and job description. So you always know what to ask.
It's like, you know what you're getting.
Right. So, and a lot of companies already do this, but not all. Like, no. I know my husband's company does this.
Do they really?
Yeah. And it causes a lot of controversy because when people that are already employed by the company start seeing those ranges and all that, then they start putting themselves, well, how come this
up against that, right?
Yes. Which, to me, kind of makes sense.
Of course.
Like, if you find out that they're hiring a job that you have that job and they're paying more or somebody else, wouldn't you be like, well, why don't I make that money?
But you negotiate your own salary here, you know?
That's the point. And then she continues.
I want to help people get paid fairly, especially women, workers of color, workers with disabilities, and the LGBTQ community, which are groups most likely to be underpaid.
Okay, I get all that. And then she says,
my overall goal is to put power back into people's hands. I get asked this question all the time. How much do I make? I did have my salary set at $200K per year, but keep in mind, that's me and my fiance, so it's split 50-50, not just me.
Wait, does she just make all that money by being an influencer and posting videos on TikTok and Instagram?
I mean, that's probably what she... Yeah, I guess so. I guess so.
I never understand how much those influencers make because they all post different amounts. Like, there's some guys that'll write, like, they make $1 million a year, and then there's some women that are like, I made $3,600 last year. And I'm like, that's a big difference.
Right.
If you're
right.
making $1 million. What do you think? Should we have pay transparency? Should it be more common now that people just talk about how much cash they make?
Well, I'll tell you, working as a private chef a lot, I used to undercharge myself completely until I started hanging out with other private chefs and I find out what they're charging. And I almost got in trouble with them, with a group of private chefs, because they would say, you're not charging enough money. Stop doing that.
Right. See, this is where I get confused too, because I don't know. I don't know how much people make. I don't know what other people in industries
right.
do. And I feel like it's been so shrouded in secrecy for so long. Like, you don't talk about it.
It's definitely taboo. It's generational. I think it's totally generational.
Yeah, because I'm looking at our Facebook page and we asked last night. We said, do you think society has reached a point where we can openly talk about our salaries? And I'm looking at all these comments. They all say no.
Interesting.
Yeah, Kim wrote, no, because it's no one's business. Well, how about if you work for the same company? Steven wrote, not amongst coworkers, never. All right, manager/boss.
Yeah, that's HR commenting. I think, listen, as a business, like, you know, that's how you keep your employees, like, from feeling like they're going to, like, you know, buck the system, essentially, kind of come and start fighting with the management, you know?
What do you think? Should salary transparency be a thing? Have we reached a point in society where we should be open to talk about how much money we make? There's been a big push lately for salary transparency. As a society, have we come to a place in time where it's okay to talk about how much money you make? Because all over our Facebook page at Anna and Raven, it says no, but there's so many movements that say yes.
Yeah, nobody wants to actually say whether they make a lot of money or whether they don't make a lot of money. And then what is a lot of money anymore, you know? We don't know unless we talk to each other.
Exactly. Five Calls says it all. Skylar, should we have salary transparency?
Not at all. Well, yes and no. So when you post a job, so I'm an HR. So when you post a job, you put a salary range. But when you have people talking about it, you have this sense of entitlement where if somebody else finds out they're doing the same job in the same department, and then they're like, well, why don't I make the same? And, you know, it could be because of performance. It just causes animosity in the office.
All right, that's fair. Kristen, Five Calls says it all. Do you think there should be full salary transparency? Have we gotten there as a society?
Yeah, I think so. I'm a teacher, and so, like, my salary is posted because we follow the contract. It's based on steps, how many years in, how much experience. And so I think that it just makes it fair. Like, I've been there for a long time, so my colleagues kind of know that I make more money than them. I think I work harder, but that's not really the point.
Seniority matters, I think.
I think that it, you know, and it makes it fair. People know, like, based on our contract, we know how much we're going to be getting paid. I can look up how much anybody makes.
I know. It's so funny. I didn't realize teachers did that. And I recently saw it posted. And it was so wild that you could click on any employee's name and see exactly how much money they make. Thanks, Kristen. Yeah. I appreciate the call. Ophelia, Five Calls says it all. Do you think we've reached a point where it's okay to talk openly with people about your salary?
I think we should. It holds companies, you know, accountable. And then also, you know, it allows you to be able to advocate for yourself better if you know how much money you should be making, you know, that aligns with everybody else, as long as you know you have the same experience and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think it creates competition. That's right. But you could also create some animosity between two people, you know, which that's not good.
I mean, 100%. I've seen this happen so often is when one person finds out what the other person is making.
Right.
Then it becomes a, well, why are they getting paid that when I'm getting paid this? I do more work than them. And it gets very hostile. Andrew, what do you think? Five Calls says it all. Is it okay to talk about your salary with others?
I mean, I feel like if it comes up organically with somebody that you trust, then yes. But I think it's rude for somebody to flat out ask you how much you make.
Hmm.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, unless a topic is there for some reason. I don't know. I mean, I've never really just walked up to somebody and said, how much money do you make?
I haven't either. I'm trying to think. And I don't think anyone's ever asked me point blank. But if you look online and you Google how Anna Zapp, people search how much money does Anna Zapp make or how much money is Anna Zapp worth. And I can promise you won't find an answer because it's not significant enough to trigger anything on the internet.
Listen, all I do is I don't ask about money. I just look at people's shoes and judge them that way.
Good.
That's all we do.
Hector, Five Calls says it all. What do you think? Have we reached a point where it's okay to talk openly about your salary?
I think so. 100%. Yes. Corporate wins if we don't talk about our salaries because they can underpay some people. But the more workers share their information, the more we can raise salaries as a whole. You know, you should help your coworkers ask for the same salary that you're getting paid. We stick together. It's like having a union without having a union. I think it's great. All positive.
Hector, how much money do you make?
I make $120,000 a year.
And what do you
do? Anna.
Oh, I mean, he said it was all right.
I was just direct. That's all.
I mean, if they say yes, I'm going to ask.
All right.
You think I'm not going to? What do you do for a living?
I work in tech.
See, I mean, it wasn't a big deal. He didn't hesitate.
No,
he wasn't
didn't.
Embarrassed. He didn't. Didn't. None of it.
I just feel a little bit like we were prying. And what's your social security number, Hector?
And where do you bank? All right. Thank you, Hector. Final vote. It's okay to talk about salary and be open at work. Not anywhere else. It's going to be very difficult for me not to giggle. Here's the thing. There's a lot of college seniors right now that are going through it because this is the time of year when your essays are due, your applications are due for applying for college.
Yeah, my kids just put a bunch of applications in.
Yeah, it's a very stressful week from what I understand. But not everybody goes to college, and that's okay because there's plenty of careers that make a lot of money and you don't need a college degree. Here's the top three.
Okay.
Highest paying jobs with no college degree. They just came out the other day. Number three is flight attendant.
Yeah, that's a good job.
Number two, patrol officer.
Mm.
And number one, executive assistant.
Yeah, I mean, any kind of assistant type job or working with someone directly, you can do really well with that.
So, you know,
I'm waiting for the segue. I know I can see your face. You're laughing. You can't even contain yourself.
So
just do it.
Chef Plum did not go to a conventional college. And here he is with me in this studio.
That's right.
And what I found is he has made a lot of money doing a lot of different things. And
a lot might be a stretch.
Listen to this. I found this on YouTube.
We are so excited to be offering this amazing cutting board set at such an unbelievable price.
That's right. You get three colorful cutting boards for all your different types of food.
Is that you, Chef Plum?
The check cashed.
All right, hold on.
That's right. You get three colorful cutting boards for all your different types of food.
Three? Wow. Three of them?
That's three of them. You get three of them.
Get out of here. No.
So this was I did some work with Publishers Clearinghouse where they did a couple of video bits, infomercial type situations.
How much did they pay you to say that? How much did they pay you? Tell me.
So I think for that one, it was years ago. I think I got $2,000 for that.
Oh, that is some solid money. Hold on.
Items like these can sell elsewhere for $54.80. But can you believe you get all of this for the incredible low price of $11.97?
I was excited.
Get out of here! What?
I was excited.
Oh, my
all
gosh.
Of this.
And you can pay over four easy installments.
Wow, that's fantastic.
How much did I pay you for that?
That whole thing was about $2,000.
$2,000. How long did it take you to film?
3 hours.
Or you just had to stand there in your apron with your green hair and say these things?
Well, it's not green hair, but I had to like read the script, and like they were very adamant on how to deliver the script. And the dollar amounts were very precise, which I had questioned, but they were like, no, that's how we do it. And I'm like, okay.
Wow, that's fantastic.
But that's not it. That's not all.
There's more. Wait.
Don't worry. There's more.
If we act now.
Introducing Sharpware, that sharpens itself for life.
As a professional chef, a sharp knife is my most important tool.
Is it?
Not only do I need it sharpened right away,
I need it sharpened the right way.
With Sharpware, I have the best quality knives, and my blade is always
razor sharp.
How much did they pay for that one?
I think that one was $3,500.
I mean, that's for for not going to college,
right?
Right, and being able to do all these things, get up there in front of a screen and endorse these nonsense things.
Not endorsed. Very important. Very, very important. Okay. In my contract, I would not endorse. I would give a testimonial, but I'm not going to endorse a product.
Hold on.
With Sharpware, I have the best quality knives, and my blade is always razor sharp.
I didn't say I love this product.
You say it's razor sharp.
It's razor sharp. Very, very important. Very, very distinct difference there.
I mean, I'm making fun of Plum, but I got to be honest with you. There's ways to make cash even if you don't have a college degree.
Do I have time to tell you two really quick two-sentence stories about,
sure,
about that last infomercial? Okay, so number one, they took my hair, if you find it online, you can see it, and they did a comb over. They had to comb all my hair because they didn't want me to have a mohawk.
Plum has a mohawk, yeah.
Which they didn't want me to have because I have a purple mohawk.
Understand
it. They spray painted my hair so it was black and then painted it over. Mm-hmm. And then the producer on the shoot was watching as we were shooting, and she yelled cut, and she hated the fact that I had, like, you know, hair on my arms. You know,
she didn't like the hair on
your
arms?
No.
She made you hairless?
I have a picture of myself being shorn by the makeup girl on my arms so that my arms wouldn't look bad in the camera.
Wow. That's fantastic.
True story.
This is the week that a lot of college applications are due and people, high school seniors, are going nuts. And the truth of the matter is sure, college is amazing. I went to college myself, but not all high-paying jobs require a college degree. Top three high-paying jobs with no college degree. They just released this list this week. Number three, flight attendant. Number two, patrol officer. And number one, executive assistant.
Executive assistants are great jobs.
Yeah. So what's a job that you've had that's made a lot of cash even without a college degree? Carmen, you said you're a judicial marshal. Is that like being a police officer?
Yes. It's not a cop. It's like, kind of. We don't have a gun, but we have we can arrest. We have the power to arrest inside the courthouse.
Oh, my God. So my dream, Carmen, is to citizen arrest somebody one day.
But she's not a citizen. She's a judicial marshal, which is a law enforcement.
I retire. So when you go to court and you go for jury duty.
Yeah.
So we're right there in the metal detector, and we transport prisoners.
I mean, I might want to do that next.
Would you want to do it?
Yeah. I mean, I want the ability to have to arrest people. I don't need to carry a gun. I just want to arrest people.
But you could scold them very sternly.
Yes. Thank you so much, Carmen.
That's a great job.
Yeah. Thanks, Carmen. I appreciate it.
Hi, Yanni. This is Mike. How are you?
Good.
Hey, Mike.
What's a good career that you've had that pays good cash without a college degree?
A very good job as a UPS driver. They make good money, and the benefit package is so well worth it. They can probably make today $120,000 plus the benefits, which is probably about another $20,000 to $30,000. So
that's a great gig.
Very well, and you can retire after 25 years.
I mean, wow! Awesome.
How about that?
But
you do have to deal with like working holiday time, which is just like the bane of existence for a UPS driver. I've heard
it is. It's you're never home, but you know the benefits. I retired almost 20 years ago. I did 26 years with them.
Wow!
So I retired at 20 years old. I walked out the door. So
quick question, Mike, before we let you go. Quick question, Mike. Do you get tips when you're doing that? When you're like holiday delivering? Do people do that regularly?
Absolutely. Yes, you get tips. I worked with a driver in Manhattan many years ago, and he used to get about $10,000 to $15,000 in tips a year.
Thank you. Wow, that's a lot of money.
I quit, Anna.
Barry, how about you? What's a high paying job that doesn't require a college degree?
So believe it or not, catering. I started out as like a waiter, passing hors d'oeuvres
and all that.
And I worked my way up. I started bartending, and then now I captain and I manage the events. I make like $45 an hour.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because when I do catering events, it's remarkable what I pay people to come work with me, to come do certain things. You know, I don't do hourly. I just kind of do like, here's what the flat rate's going to be for the event. But, you know, I'll $350, $400. Come work tonight with me.
That's so great. I mean, I think in general,
plus gratuity.
We've been talking about it, like the food industry, if you get into the right way,
yeah,
can certainly be very lucrative. And you don't need a traditional college degree for that.
Hey, I have a private chef friend.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been with the family for a very long time. His Christmas bonus, are you ready?
Yeah.
$55,000 a year.
Come on.
That's his Christmas bonus.
I mean, how? Oh my gosh. It's crazy.
It's insane.
Sure.
Catering work, food business. If you get in the right way, you can make a lot of money. Yeah. It's a true story.
Tara, what's mm-hmm. a high-paying job that doesn't require a college degree that you had?
I was an executive assistant at a private equity firm.
Anytime you have private equity firm.
Yeah, that's big words.
Because nobody even knows what that means half
nope.
the time.
Nope.
No.
Those big words, big money words. But listen, again, another good, a great assistant like that, that's a great job.
Private equity firm. You should go to Indeed right now if you're looking for a job. And you should just look up private equity firm. And any job they have available there, from cleaning up at night after everybody leaves.
Easy.
To monitoring the parking lot. I mean, sign up.
One couple.
It makes me furious. I don't get it.
This is what she wants to do.
One problem.
My daughter wants to do a spa weekend for her 16th birthday.
And I'm being deprived of going there because I'm a guy?
You decide the outcome.
All right, Gabby, you got to be happy to hear that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can have a family dinner when we get back in town.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. The Couples Court, sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off your first month of online therapy at BETTERHELP.com/Anna and Raven. Joining us, it's Greg and Wilma. Congratulations. We got a wedding planning time going on right now.
Thank you. Yeah, we do. A lot of planning.
Sure do.
So what's going on?
That's not a stressful time of life at all, though.
No.
Not at all.
No, we're not stressed except with the bridal party. That's pretty stressful.
Mm-hmm.
So Greg's brother's wife, he wants her to be in my bridal party. And it's not that I don't like her. It's just I don't really know her. She kind of lives a few states away, and I've only met her once. It just kind of feels weird to include somebody that I don't really know in my inner circle. I'd rather have more people in my inner circle.
Now, is it the family thinks it's important that she's in there, or Greg, is it that you think she's important that she's in there?
Well, I think it's important that she's in there because I know my mom's going to think it's important that she's in there because she's family. And I know my mom's going to get upset, and then it's going to become a whole thing at the wedding. And, like, babe, I hear you, but I just don't think it's that big of a deal. Like, she'll be in a couple pictures. You can still have all your biggest, you know, your closest friends in there. And then she's also there, and then we don't have to deal with my mom at the wedding, right?
Greg, I'm going to tell you a little secret right now as a man who's been married for over 21 years. You should never tell your wife or wife-to-be what's important and what's not.
Thank you. You only have a wedding once, and seems really nice, but things like the bachelorette party, things like planning little parties beforehand that we might have before the wedding, I don't really need her to be there when I could have more friends. Just want it to be 10 people. It doesn't need to be 11 people for her.
You have 10 people in your bridal party? I think I had 8 or 10. I don't even remember at this point. I have to count.
It's hard to whittle down.
I get it. I mean, if you have 10, like, the more the merrier, I would think. But I understand where you're coming from. I think a lot of people have a problem with this. It's like, it's not technically your close circle. It's really your soon-to-be husband. It's Greg's family. It's not your family yet, and it's your sister. It's not like it's Greg's sister. It's his sister-in-law.
Right.
How many times have you met her? Like, do you know her well from over the years?
I've met her once.
You met her once? Oh, that's so weird.
I know more from her from Facebook than I know about her from real life.
Yeah, but the one thing we got to all kind of remember here, no one wants to admit, when someone's getting married, yes, the wedding is about the two people getting married, but it's also a little bit about the families involved.
No, of course. That's why I'm kind of like stuck in the middle.
Sure, but what about the second cousin once removed? Does she have to be in my party too?
If it's going to cause family drama, I don't know.
Maybe they have sister in the title.
And she's not your future sister-in-law, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Let's see what the audience has to say. Do you think Wilma should be forced to have her soon-to-be sister-in-law, Greg's sister-in-law, as part of her bridal party? It's a couple's court. What do you do when you're planning your bridal party and you don't want your fiancé's sister-in-law to be part of yours?
Yeah, but you got to keep everybody happy, whether it's your side, her side, all the family sides. They all want to have a say, right?
Exactly. That's what's going on with Greg and Wilma. They're planning their wedding, and Greg's sister-in-law, this is his brother's wife, he thinks, well, she should definitely be in the bridal party. It'll make my mom upset if she's not, because she's part of the family. Wilma doesn't agree. She's like, I met her once. Like, she's very nice, but I don't even know her. She lives 3 states away.
Yeah, it's not like they hang out all the time or anything like that. All of a sudden, this woman's going to show up and just be part of her most important day ever.
Yeah, what do you think? Would you invite her to be part of your bridal party? Mark, whose side are you on?
I'm on Greg's side. When you honestly get involved with another person, I had my sister-in-law do the same thing, a little closer, but I feel once she was involved in the wedding, she went to the bachelorette party with my, you know, wife now. They start to get closer and closer. And then at the end of it, we hang out all the time, you know?
It is one way to bring somebody together when you force them to be in the bridal party. It's a couple's court. What do you do when you're planning your bridal party, getting married, and your fiancé wants his brother's wife, your one day to be sister-in-law, to be part of your bridal party, and you barely know her? You met her once, she lives three states over, and you're not into it.
That's what makes it hard. Like, this wedding party is a big deal. Those pictures are forever. The memories are forever. There's so much important stuff with this. You want to put somebody you don't even know into your pictures, and you're, I don't know, man.
I mean, he says that his mom is going to be upset that she's part of the family. She should be part of the bridal party. How are you going to leave her out? The couple's court verdict is powered by Leaf Filter. Protect your home and never clean out gutters again with Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system. What do you think? Do you let her be in the bridal party just because she's going to be family? Crystal, whose side are you on?
The wife. Me being a sister of two sisters that got married. We never grew up together. We weren't close. And I wasn't invited to the bridal party and stuff like that. And I get it because it has to be people you're intimate with that you are very close. That's, you know, the bride's day. If the groom wants her to go to his, then by all means, let him bring her.
I mean, Crystal, you bring up a good point because I think back to my bachelorette. And if there was people there that I didn't know that well, I would have been a different Anna.
It makes it different. Right. Yeah, you're not you then. I understand that completely.
Liz, what do you think?
I'm on the wife's side, mainly because we just got married, mainly because that he said it was for his mom to be happy when it's their wedding day. And if they want to be here in pictures, they could be in the family pictures.
You know, moms will get over it, I think. I think that your wife, that's something that'll be there forever. The pictures, the memories, all of it.
Andre, what do you think?
I agree with her. I'll be honest. I've been married twice. And I got the people that I wanted and the people that she wanted. I mean, you get married once, you know?
Except for you, that got married twice.
Married twice, but you guys want to do too much. You guys got to settle for the same.
Andre got married twice. We got different bridal parties.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Wilma, our audience agreed with you. It's your bridal party, and if you feel very uncomfortable having her because you barely know her, then you don't have to. And Greg, your family will just have to understand.
That sounds right to me.
Yeah,
I mean,
you got to keep people happy, but more importantly, you got to keep your wife to be happy. I think that's the most important part.
I agree. I'm slowly learning this. I used to have to keep my girlfriend happy. Now I'm going to have to keep my wife happy. Either way, as long as you're happy, I'm happy too. I'll deal with my mom. Don't worry about it.
Great. I'm glad at least you're dealing with her. It's our day, you know. Let's have it the best we can.
I'm sure it'll be beautiful. Congratulations again. And if anybody else has an issue, send me an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Two hosts, multiple clues, only one right answer. It's time to play Heads Up with Anna and Raven.
$1,300 will be the jackpot tomorrow for Can't Beat Raven when Raven returns from vacation. But throughout the whole last week, Chef Plum has been sitting in, and we've been playing Heads Up for Target gift cards. Heads Up is powered by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on iPhone 16 Pro. Here's how it works. Plum is going to give you clues. You have 60 seconds. If you can correctly identify six of them in that time, you win the Target gift card. Joe, you ready to play today?
Let's do it, Joe.
I am so ready right now. Let's go.
Let's Joe, you can pick your categories here. I've got famous desserts, or we can also do popular pizza toppings.
Let's go with famous desserts.
Famous desserts it is. I'm going to describe it without saying it, and then you got to tell me what it is. It's going to be a type of dessert, all right? So if I say what it is, you got to describe it, you say, this is a dessert, and just yell it really loud, okay?
You got it.
All right, hold on. Let me put 60 seconds on the clock. Let me pull up these clues so I can see what we're doing. So remember, Plum, you can't say the word of anything in there.
Never have.
I did it once.
Never, ever happened.
All right. Joe, you ready?
A little nervous, but I'm ready.
You got this.
Come on, we got this together. We're a team, Joe. How many do we need, six or five?
Six in 60 seconds.
All right, here we go, Joe. You ready?
Get set.
A creamy dessert with a graham cracker crust, typically topped with fruit or chocolate. Come on. Easy. Come on, we got this. All right, moving on. How about a classic American dessert made with like a flaky crust and apples in the middle of it and vanilla ice cream?
He said apple pie. Got it.
Okay, got it. Good. Let's talk about a fried dough. It's like got usually cinnamon and sugar on it. It's Spanish in descent from Mexico or from Spain. Chocolate dipping sauce.
Pass.
Okay. How about this one? It's a rich custard that's topped with a layer of caramelized sugar on top that cracks when you break into it.
Doing terrible at this. I don't know.
Oh, okay, listen.
I don't sweets.
Here we go. It's an Italian-style ice cream that's creamier than regular ice cream. Wide range of flavors like pistachio, hazelnut, chocolate. Nothing? I feel like this is so easy.
You're ridiculous.
I am? All right. Well, delicate almond-based cookies filled with a ganache and buttercream or jam.
Time. All right. Here's what happened.
Oh, this is great.
I'm going to tell you what happened, Joe. That's time. You only got two right in the 60 seconds. Is that when I was writing the clues,
yeah,
I made them so easy that anybody could get it and you were giving normal things. I have let Chef Plum create the topics for the last 2 days because he wanted to. And he goes so far into chef mode that he forgets.
How hard is gelato?
But people don't know what ganache is. People don't know a Mexican flaky. Say,
a churro.
When you go to a Mexican restaurant, the donuts that you stick in the chocolate. That's Joe. If I said that, what would you say?
I have no idea. I'm a personal trainer. I don't even eat sweets.
Why would you pick desserts?
Right, why would you
pick that? I gave you the choice.
No.
Well, Joe, here's the thing. It was the last day, so I'm going to give you the Target gift card anyway.
I don't feel this is my fault.
Oh, yeah.
He picked this, and then he tells us he's a person. This guy's never even had an M&M in his life.
All right. Well, gelato is Italian ice cream. Churros is the Mexican dessert. Which one?
Creme brulee.
Creme brulee was the one with the sugar crust on top. All delicious things that he's never had because he's got 0% body fat.
This guy eats birdseed, and he picked the dessert category.
All right.
We love you, Joe. We love you, brother.
Yeah, you're great, and you're getting this Target gift card. Hold on the line.
Go buy something sweet, for God's sakes.
Get ready. Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is almost here. It's Black Friday in July, and it's coming your way. For 5 days only, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Plus amazing doorbuster deals and free shipping on everything. Yes, everything right to your door. So mark your calendars. Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale starts July 24th. Shop everything home at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale is almost here. Starting July 24th, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair, plus amazing doorbuster deals and free shipping site-wide. Shop the sale at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.